Amen. Father, we thank you for that. Thank you, Mashiach Yahushua, our Lord and Savior. And through you we come to our Father. Amen. Amen. This is not what the teaching is about, but something I heard today, and I was listening to Judges. And when you've got Gideon, and one of the things that Yahweh told Gideon is, tear down the altars of Baal that your fathers have built. And I started thinking, what are our altars? And I started thinking, with the Catholic Church, we all know what those are, which is what?
Mary and the saints.
Yeah, Mary.
Images.
It's an altar to Mary that needs to be torn down because that has nothing to do with Yahweh's word. And then in the Protestant Church, what do we have?
Trinity.
Triune God. Triune God. So we need to pull that down too. These, and then when they pull them down, what do they try to do to Gideon?
Kill him.
Kill him. Mm-hmm. And his father said, are you going to plead for Baal? You know, so the same situation is speaking the truth in love, but those pillars are lies. They have nothing to do with the scriptures in this word. But that's not the teaching. So tonight's going to be preparing the way for Yahweh, the new earth Zion. And what we're going to do is kind of look at things differently. We're going to go from the end of the story to the beginning of the story. And our foundation, most Christians are ignorant. I would say probably the majority of all Christians are really ignorant. If any of them have ever just read the Bible through once in their lifetime, which should be done once a year at least. Yeah. John Quincy Adams read through the whole word every year. It's only 70 hours. You know, 70 hours... half hour a day, how many days would that be? 140. 70 hours, half hour a day, it'd be 140 days. Well, you can read half hour a day and read the whole word of Yahweh twice a year. Mm-hmm. That's just 300 days. For a half hour. You know, 15 minutes in the morning, 15 minutes in the evening, and you're like, but otherwise, I've got some programs where all of a sudden, go through the Bible in 2 years. What is that, one verse at a time, two verses at a time? Are you kidding me? We got little children that know nothing. And so we're deceived because we don't know this book. Or you're deceived because the lust of your heart creates something that you want to believe. All right, so we have that tendency. But we're going to look at... our end result is not heaven. We're going to see that Yahweh is coming back to planet Earth to live and rule from Earth in Zion. Man really is not even man, it's Adam's. So whenever you say the word man, it's the Hebrew word Adam. And Adama is, and that's male and female. And Adama is the ground. Man came from the Adama. Adam came from the Adama. We're terrestrial. We're not celestial. This is our home, and we might, after the gathering together, or when the parousia of the Lord comes, the church is going to be in the heavens for maybe 7 years, and then we're coming right back to the earth, because this is where our home is. It's like they say, one person said, if you just read this, it's all over the old covenant. So, we're going to see that. Let's start with the end, which is Revelation 20. The end of the story, which is really our beginning. And we got into a surreal fabrication of a world that does not exist. Mm-hmm. It's what people want to believe. So let's look at 20, and we're going to see, we know it begins in Genesis, and we know how that begins is death comes about. And so in my opinion, Yahweh cannot be around death. And so he leaves the earth. And he's not coming back to the earth until death is gone. Forever. And so 20 verse 14. And death and Sheol, Sheol were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone was not found in the book of life written, he was cast into the lake of fire. So now all evil people are gone. There's no more evil people. And what happens? And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth have passed away, and the sea is no more. And the holy city, New Jerusalem, saw it coming up. No, it's coming down out of heaven from Yahweh, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice out of the throne saying, lo, the tent of Yahweh is with men, and he will tabernacle with them. So look at this. This is our end result. He will tabernacle with them, and they shall be his people, and he shall be Elohim with them, and he will wipe away every tear out of their eyes. And death shall be no more, and grief and outcry and pain shall be no more. The first things have passed away. And he that was sitting upon the throne said, lo, I make all things new. And he said, write, because these words are faithful and true. And he said unto me, accomplished, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I unto whom that is thirsty will give of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit these things, and I will be to him an Elohim, and he shall be to me a son. Wow, so that is the end of the story. Well, how does this work then? We know in, let's go to Zechariah 14. You know, if people just read this book, and not just the New Testament, but the New Covenant, you know, the word testament is never in this book. So what Yahweh has, a testament is not an agreement between two individuals. It's what one person writes after they die. This is a covenant. So it's a new covenant and the old covenant. So you're never going to see the word testament in the Rotherham because it's not a testament. So that's an error we can correct. But Zechariah 14, now this just shows you about Yahweh becoming king. Verse 9.
Wait a minute.
Page 911. And so will Yahweh become king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Yahweh, and his name be one. And what do we have today? Three. And all the land shall turn into a plain from Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem, and shall lift herself on high and abide in her own place, from the gates of Benjamin unto the place of the first gate up to the corner gate, and from the tower of Haniel up to the winepress of the king. So shall men dwell therein, and utter instruction shall not be any more, but Jerusalem shall abide in security. This is just showing you Yahweh is going to be upon the earth, and there's plenty of verses for that. But we know before the day of Yahweh, we're going from the end to the beginning now. We're going to look at Joel.
Look at what?
The prophet Joel. Chapter 3. Just to get all this foundation of this is our history. Chapter 3, verse 14. And we know the whole book of Joel, it's not Joel, but it's Joel, Yoel, Y-O-E-L, Yah is El, is about the day of Yahweh. It's page 872, the day of Yahweh. What is a day of Yahweh? And that is the book of Revelation. It's judgment. It is getting the earth into line, and that's the last dish before, Yahweh comes to the earth, but he has to clean the earth off with the wicked people.
Can't be around death.
But you're going to clean the earth. There's, like I said to other people, we have in the United States two parties, the Democrat Party, the Republican Party. In the Word of Yahweh, there's only two parties. It's the party of Cain, or it's the party of Abel.
Amen.
Choose. There's no other in between. You're either of Cain, or you're of Abel. 14 to 17. Chapter 3, Joel. Chapter 3, 14. Multitudes, in the veil of strict decision. For near is the day of Yahweh, in the veil of strict decision. And the day of Yahweh is darkness and not light, is judgment. The sun and the moon have become dark, and the stars have withdrawn their shining, and Yahweh out of Zion will roar, because we find out Zion is his future home. And out of Jerusalem will utter his voice, and the heavens and the earth shall tremble. But Yahweh shall be a shelter in his people, and a refuge to the sons of Israel, so that you shall know that I, Yahweh, am your Elohim, making my habitation in heaven.
Nope.
No. In Zion, my holy mountain. So shall Jerusalem be holy, and foreigners shall pass through her no more. So this is really going to happen. This is our future home, is Zion. Now we go to preparing the way for Yahweh. So here we got, the end result, death is gone. We're going to come down here. Last call, either you're for us or you're dead. You're going to be thrown in the lake of fire. But many times in preparing the way of the Lord is misconstrued. It's not the Lord. So go to Matthew chapter 3. Everybody, all the prophets and us, and all his special people, which we're going to look at, are preparing the way for Yahweh to come. We do our job. Christ did his job. And we're going to go through that to these individuals. Matthew chapter 3, verse 1 through 3. This is the story. Now, in those days came John the Immerser. His name is actually Yohanan, the Immerser, proclaiming in the wilderness of Judea, saying, "Repent ye." So the same message is always going to be all the way through here. Repent. Change direction from John to Yahushua, to all the prophets. Repent ye, turn. Repent ye, for the kingdom, which means reign, the reign of the heavens hath drawn near. For this is he who has spoken of through Isaiah the prophet, saying, a voice of one crying aloud in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, straight be making his paths. Well, that's the word, not Lord, it's Yahweh. And if you go to Isaiah 40, verse 3, you'll see that. He's quoting Isaiah. But in the Greek, it's going to say Lord. That's not what the Isaiah said.
Isaiah what?
Chapter 40, verse 3-5. Preparing the way of Yahweh. Preparing the way. We're not of Yahushua. Yahushua was an instrument preparing the way for Yahweh. And he goes all the way until, we'll look at here, 40 verse 3, a voice of one crying in the desert, prepare you the way of the Lord.
Nope.
Yeah. No, of Yahweh. So most people are going to say, that's the Lord, Yahushua. No, Yohanan is preparing the way for Yahweh, makes smooth in the waste plain a highway for our Elohim. Let every valley be exalted. And this is where the plains. And so the mountains are brought down, the valleys are brought up. And this is where the holy place. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain. I guess that's lowly people too. The lowly shall be brought up, and the haughty will be brought down.
Amen.
And every mountain and hill be made low, and the steep ground become level, and the chains of the hill a plain. Then shall be revealed the glory of Yahweh, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of Yahweh has spoken. Now we go to Genesis, to the beginning of the story. Chapter 3. Chapter 3, where it all began. 3:23. So Yahweh Elohim put him, and that is them, Adam and Eve, forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground wherefrom he had been taken. So he expelled the man, and or expelled the Adam. And every time you see the word man, unless it's later on, it'll be with husband, it'll be Ish or Isha. So the husband is Ish and the wife is Isha. But when you're talking about mankind, we're not Homo sapiens, we are Adams. We are Adams. So he expelled the Adam and caused him to dwell in front of the Garden of Eden, cherubim and a banishing sword flame to keep the way to the tree of life. And so we know that. So when did this problem happen? Well, they disobeyed and got kicked out. And then we know Cain murdered Abel. And so chapter 4, verse 10, and Yahweh said unto Cain, and he said, what hast thou done? With a voice, the shed blood of thy brother is crying out to me from the ground. Now therefore accursed art thou from the ground which has opened her mouth to receive the shed blood of thy brother at thy hand. Well, that just shows you the falling of the earth. You know, this is it. Of mankind separating from the Garden of Eden out on your own to Yahweh is in the heavens. And that's also Revelation 4, chapter 4. He's in heaven. They got messengers up there and so on and so forth. Now, let's go to Genesis 1:26, and we're going to look at us too. People think of our position as so light. And we got to understand that once we get our new bodies, and even in this life, we are images of Elohim. Right, when we imitate Elohim, we are images of Elohim. That's how we were created. In 27, and Elohim created the Adam in his own image. That's it. We're in the image of Elohim. And so you think of us as little Elohims, little gods. It's such a privilege to get to a situation where he thinks of us higher than all the animals and probably even the messengers. Now, we are earning a position where we can actually be called a little less than Elohim, and that's in Psalms 8. We're not a little less than the angels. That's not what it says. It says in Psalms 8, we're a little less than Elohim. They put angels in there because they said that's a sacrilege. We can't be that. And so they changed the text on that. Let's keep going. 28, and Elohim bless, or let's just say here, let's start at 27 again. Here's the other problem. The woman did not come from the rib of man. That's the second account of the creation. Everybody just completely discards the first count. Chapter 3 is marriage.
Chapter 2
is marriage. You have Ish and Isha. You have man be taken from the ground, and then he didn't have a helpmate, so he took him from the rib, and then they shall be one flesh. Well, what is one flesh? Marriage. That's a whole other account, because otherwise it looks like a woman is really a plaything for a man.
Yeah, it says you're going to leave your mother and your father.
Yeah, you're going to leave your mother and father. It's all marriage. It's two, I mean, chapter one is where, this is what Yahweh did. So I'll start in 27 again, and that we're not taught this either, but it's right there in the scriptures, just look at it. We're twins. So they were made male and female twins at the same time. And Elohim created Adam in his own image, and the image of Elohim created he him. Male and female created he them, right? There it is. And Elohim blessed them, and Elohim said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air. And we know that. You know, so we know, and we're going to see, we are in the image of Elohim. Christ was in the image of Elohim, and we are supposed to be, we are made in the image of Elohim. And if we walk the way that Yahweh tells us to, especially when we got Ruach HaKodesh, or Holy Spirit, we are the image of Elohim. And you saw that with people walking in this capacity. They're in a whole other realm. Let's just go to Psalms 2. Well, let's go to Psalms 8 and verify that about
8:5.
We're a little bit less than Elohim. Psalms 8 is a beautiful rendition of the height that Yahweh has given us, of the position. And many times we end up spitting upon Him, but not us. Let's look at Psalms 8, 4 through 9. What was weak man that thou shouldest make mention of him, or the son of the earth born that thou shouldest set him in charge? Obviously, that's what we were given, the earth, to rule the earth. That thou shouldest make him a little less than Elohim. And so if you look at C, footnote, you're going to see that it's the word Elohim. It's not the messenger of God. And so he's going to tell you it's Elohim. That's what the text says. With glory and honor shouldst crown him, should give him dominion over the works of thy hands. All things should have been put under his feet. And it goes on and on. That is mankind. What a noble position. Now we go to Psalms 2, 1 through 6. Psalms 2, verse 1 through 6. And we're going to see Yahweh in His positioning in the heavens, because from the Garden of Eden, you had to put cherubim down there because man became blood. And obviously, you become, the seed of the serpent. You become just like Satan. And so we think of Satan as a hideous creature who was an angel of light, right? Mm-hmm. He's an angel. He chose... Today, you're going to be a Satan, a Cain, or you're going to be an Abel. You know, so everybody gets to choose. Psalms 2, verse 1. Wherefore have nations assembled in turmoil? Oh, should peoples mutter an empty thing? The kings of the earth take their station. It reminds us today. And grave men have met by appointment together against what?
Yahweh.
Against Yahweh. And that was we just had a Golden Globes. This is 2025 in January. It's for, in the United States, it's for actors, and they now get these awards. And in there, they mocked Yahweh. They said, nobody gave God thanks. And then 48 hours later, the fires of Los Angeles broke out, and it just destroyed all these Hollywood homes. Any connection? I don't know. But this is you're mocking the Creator against Yahweh and against His Anointed One, His Mashiach, saying, let us break asunder their bonds. Think of that to the left, right today. And cast from us their cords. He that sits in the heavens, well, that's Yahweh. He's not on earth. He's in the heavens. Will laugh. My Lord will mock at them. Then will He speak unto them in His anger, and in His wrath confound them. Yet I have installed my king on Zion, my holy mountain. Let me tell of a decree. Yahweh has said unto me, and here is a real simple situation. Father, Son. I mean, how could this get confusing? You know, I was thinking about that with the triune God. You've got who is sitting at the right hand of God? Well, He is sitting at the right hand of His own self. That's because you got gods everywhere. You got, you know, a father and a son. How can you even mess that up? You know, it's just amazing. But here it is. I have begotten thee, ask of me, and let me, and who, and where did He come into existence? But He came from Yahweh. I have begotten thee, brought you into existence. Ask of me, and let me give nations as thy inheritance and the possessions, the ends of the earth. That's it. That's the story, Yahweh. We're going to see Him brings in different members. Yahushua is one to prepare the way for who? Yahweh. To finish this whole course of, you know, so far it's been 6,000 years. How much longer it's going to be, I don't know. Let's just go to 1 Corinthians 15. This validates this principle. And I just did a post today, and there's a book called Jesus Christ is Not God. It was done in the 80s. Great book. And he's not. He's not Yahweh. Should have been Yahweh. But here's a guy. I can prove, in response, I can prove that He is God. Jesus is God. Well, just think about what you're saying, guy. That God is sitting at God's own right hand. Well, then I've got two gods. Obviously. And then you got a third God, because I don't even know where the Holy Spirit even sits. You know, you got one sitting at his right hand. Who's on his left hand? You know, and so in this creation is just so stupid. I mean, it really is in a stupor. And here it validates that. 15 verse 25, we're just going to cut it short. Well, let's just go with 23. And we're talking about the awakening from among the dead. It's not the raise from the dead, it's Egyro. And it's not from the dead, from among the dead. So Mashiach, Yahushua, was awoken, Egyro, from among, it's just necros, out of the dead, because the dead are still there. He's the firstborn, you know, from dying. Yeah. He's the firstborn, and that's why resurrection, he's the first one to give, show us a resurrection, and he gets a new body, and that's our hope. But if everybody's in heaven, who cares? You know? Who cares? You know, who cares about resurrection? Everybody's in heaven right now. They don't have bodies. Who cares? They're living thousands of years without bodies, and that's what the church teaches, and which are doctrines of Satan. But let's look at that. 23, but each in his own rank, a first fruit Christ. He was the first awoken from among the dead. After that, they who are Christ in his presence. Okay, that'd be us. Afterwards, the end, whensoever he delivers up the kingdom unto what?
His God
and his Father. How much simpler can that be? He is giving up the kingdom that his Father has given him to, because the thing is now complete, where Yahweh can come down and be in Zion. Whensoever he shall bring up to naught all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign until what? He shall put all enemies under his feet. As a last enemy, death. Well, the church today teaches death is your friend. It connects you in heaven. It puts you with Jesus. Well, not here. Now, that's a doctrine of demons. Because it says right in my Bible, as the last enemy, death is to be destroyed. For he put, Yahweh, put all things in subjection under Christ's feet. But whensoever it shall be said, all things are in subjection, is evident in means except Yahweh, who did put unto subjection unto Christ the all things. But whensoever had been put into subjection unto Yahweh, the all things, then the Son himself shall be put in subjection unto Yahweh, who put in subjection unto him, Christ, the all things, that Yahweh may be all in all. How hard is that? You know, so Christ has a job. We see that in the book of Revelation. We see it in right now. He's our mediator between God and, there's one God, and one mediator between God and man, a man, Christ Yahushua. He's our mediator, not Mary. People are praying to Mary. Now, so we're going to see, I don't want to go over too long. Like one person said, what does it mean when your pastor looks at your watch? Absolutely nothing. I thought I'd make that happen. Absolutely nothing. It goes on and on and on.
I can relate.
Okay. So we're going to look at now part two is the special births preparing the way of Yahweh. So these are special incidences that were like one of a kind. And we're going to find out the pattern they are. They have, Yahweh names the child. The parents don't name the child. Yahweh names the child. Messengers come and let everybody know to the parents, you're going to have a child. And they have a purpose and mission before they're even born. There's a purpose and mission for every born. And we know with Isaac, he was the first. And so, let's just look over Genesis 17. And we know Sarah, so Abraham was 100, so Sarah had to be 90. And guess what? Her fallopian tubes and uterus had shrunk. There's no way this can give birth unless it is regenerated. So Yahweh had to regenerate the uterus and estrogen and everything else. Because when she said, you're going to have a baby, and she's like, yeah, right. But you're looking at a woman, we found out, is born with 400,000 eggs. Yeah, they're not produced by the woman. They're given to her at birth. Once those 400,000, and through menstruation, those are one by one discharged until they're all gone. Now they're all gone. So guess what? You can't have a baby because you don't have any more eggs. Well, that's what Yahweh is going to have to deal with Sarah, right? Mm-hmm. A male with sperm is generating sperm all his life. Okay. Now, males have other problems.
Yeah, wait a minute.
17, verse 5. And thy name shall no more be called Abram, but thy name shall become Abraham, for a fault, father. And whenever you see A-B, it's the Hebrew word for Ab. Ab means father. You don't say Abe, it's Ab. It's not Abraham, it's Ab. For the father, see, that's father of a multitude of nations shall I appoint thee, and I will make thee fruitful exceedingly and grant thee to be nations. Yea, kings out of thee shall come forth, and I will confirm my covenant betwixt me and thee, and thy seed after thee to their generations for age abiding covenant, become to thee a Elohim, and thy seed after thee, and I will give to thee and to thy seed after thee the land of sojourning of all the lands of Canaan for age abiding possession, and I will be to them an Elohim. And let me see here. I guess that. Oh yeah, I'm going to try to go to. He's going to name Isaac. Oh yeah, let's just go here. And let's go to 15. And Elohim said unto Abraham, as for Sarah thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah is her name, and I will bless her, and moreover will give from her to thee a son. And so here is the messenger, you know, and I will bless her, and she shall become a nation, kings of people from her shall arise. And Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, to one 100-year-old shall a child be born, and shall even Sarah, who is 90 years old, give birth? And Abraham said unto Elohim, oh, that Ishmael might live before me. And Elohim said, here's the first usage. Truly, Sarah thy wife is about to bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, which means laughter. And his name's not Isaac either. When you look up the Hebrew name, it's Yitzhak. Yitzhak. Y-I-S-H-A-Q.
Yitzhak.
Yitzhak. You know, Isaac. I have no idea where we get Isaac. You know, that's not even close. Yitzhak. But obviously, she is barren, and it means laughter. So we have to start looking at, okay, that was the first special supernatural born because she's barren. Now let's go to Samson, which is the next one. That's in Samson's name. Has no his name means brilliant or sunshine, and his name is actually Shimshon. It's not Samson. It's Shimshone. Shimshon.
What book?
Judges 13. Very special birth on this, and he had a mission. We know Isaac's mission was to establish the covenant that was with Abraham. Judges 13. Let's see here. I skipped. And this is a conditional birth. But a messenger is going to be involved. 1 through 25. We don't have time for that. But and we know, and the sons of 13, verse 1, and the sons of Israel again did the thing that was wicked in the sight of Yahweh, And Yahweh delivered him up in the hands of the Philistine 40 years. Okay, and I'm going to go right down here. Well, let's just go with 3. And a messenger of Yahweh appeared unto the woman and said unto her, so here is the special birth. A messenger is coming to her, and he's going to say, you know, we saw Yahweh named Yishak, or Isaac. We're going to see the messenger is going to name Samson, which his name is really Shimshon. Though I pray thee art barren and hast borne no child, that thou art barren. You know, so I mean, so it could have been her. It was a situation where she could never give birth. So this could be an impossible birth, because it says, thou art barren, and hast borne no child, but thou shalt conceive and shalt bear a son. Now therefore, beware, I pray thee, do not drink wine or strong drink, nor eat anything unclean, for thou art about to conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall be come on his head. So that's it. 2 conditions, no razor and no grapes. For one, separate unto Elohim shall the boy be from his birth, and he shall begin to do what? His purpose. To save Israel out of the hands of the Philistines. So, you know, Isaac was to establish, to continue the covenant of Abraham. Samson is to save Israel from the hand of the Philistines. And let's see where she names him.
24.
Okay, save us some time. So the woman bore a son and called his name Samson. And the boy grew, but I think he says it's before that. They named the boy. But it's in there. We'll keep going. But he was, yeah, he saves Israel. Okay. Now we'll go to Solomon, which is different, unique. He's still, Yahweh's going to, messenger is going to tell him, you're going to have a son, and he's named, Yahweh's naming him Samson, or not Samson, Solomon, which means peaceful, and his name is actually Sheomo. It's not Solomon. It comes from the word Shalom. You know, we know what Shalom means. Means peace. Shalomo. And so that's Solomon's actual name. And so we go to 1 Chronicles 17.
Where is it?
1 Chronicles 17. Now, she wasn't barren, so Bathsheba. It's very unusual with bringing in this child from, you know, David and Bathsheba is very, because they sin together. You know, death penalty, and they issue forth. So I don't quite understand that, but obviously that's the way it is. Open up her eyes, First Chronicles 17, 11 through 12. And it shall be that when the days are fulfilled to sleep with thy fathers, then will I raise up thy seed after thee, who shall be of thy sons, and I will establish a kingdom. He shall build me a house. And so this is his mission. Before he's born, you're going to build the house of Yahweh, the temple. And I will establish his throne under time's age of mine. I will become his father, and he shall become my son. That is Solomon, which we call Solomon. And we go to 1 Chronicles 22, verse 8 and 10. Let's see, where's 8? I got. But the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, blood and abundance, this is David, has shed, and great wars have thou made. Thou shalt not build a house for my name, because much blood has thou shed upon the earth before me. Lo, a son born to thee, he shall be a man of rest. And I will give him rest from his enemies round about, for Solomon shall be his name. So here's Yahweh naming this particular person on the birth, and he has a mission before he's even born. And all of us really have missions. You know, but if never told by our parents, here's what you're going to do. You know, with Samson, here's what you're going to do. When you have this kind of information, you're going to be Solomon, you're going to be telling him, here's what you're going to do. With John the Immerser, we're going to see the same way his parents are going to say, you got a mission. And with Yahushua, you got a mission when you're born. Let's see here. So now we go to John. His name's not John, it's Yohanan. It's actually named, and it means Yahweh favor. Yo is Yahweh, and Hana is favor, which most people would say grace. And grace does not mean favor, so it's a misconception. You know, grace means to please. And so we've got a lot of words in our translations that are wrong.
Then Luke?
We're going to go to Luke 1, Yohanan.
What?
It's always interesting with us. For some reason, we shorten the name into one John, one syllable. But his name is actually Yohanan, three syllables. We say Jesus when his name is actually Yahushua, four syllables. For some reason, it always just comes down to...
lazy language?
Yeah, we say Joel. No, it's Yoel. We're going to separate because E-L means God. Yeah, so somehow they're just done, but we're in a situation we're going to stop it. Just start saying correctly. Now we go to 1:13, Luke 1, verse 13. And we all know basically his mission. But the messenger, and here's a messenger coming and telling Zechariah. So here's a messenger we saw with Solomon. He got spiritual revelation. We saw with Samson, their messenger came. We saw with Isaac, messengers came. And that was really Yahweh and two messengers that came before the overthrew of Sodom and Gomorrah and the rest of the area. But 13, but the messenger said unto him, do not fear, Zechariah, inasmuch as thy supplication has been hearkened to, and thy wife Elizabeth, who is aged, so this is a new impossible situation, a reconstruction of the uterus, shall bring forth a son to thee. And they're also identifying as a son, not a daughter, as a son. And thou shalt call his name Yohanan. So the messenger is naming the child, and which Yohanan means Yahweh's favor. God. And we know what's special about him. He's a step above everybody now, except for Yahushua, because he's going to have Holy Ruach in him at in conception.
When he's in the womb.
Yeah, he's in the womb. He's in the womb. So this has never happened before. And there shall be joy to thee and exulting, and many over his birth shall rejoice. And another thing too good about Rotheram. We don't use the word to exalt. And exalt means to leap.
Jump.
We just say rejoice. Rejoice. No. You're going to see two different words. One's exalt and the other one shall rejoice. They're two different things. And so, people don't make a difference. Let's just say rejoice on all of them. And many over his birth shall rejoice, for he shall be great before Yahweh. God, isn't that right from his birth? And wine and strong drink, and no wine shall he drink. Same as Samson. That's very important. Good connection. And with holy ruach shall he be filled already from his mother's womb. Wow. So this is power in the womb. Wow. And then many of the sons of Israel shall be turned towards Yahweh their Elohim. That's his mission. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the father unto children and the unyielding unto the prudence of the righteous and to prepare for Yahweh a people made ready. So we see such a high calling on his situation too, and he's going to say, repent. We won't even have to go. 67, let's go to 67. And Zechariah's father was filled with Ruach HaKodesh and prophesied, saying, blessed be Yahweh, the Elohim of Israel, because he had visited and wrought, and it goes all the way to about Yohanan. And let's see, in 80, and the child went on growing and being strengthened in Elah, and was in the desert until the day he was pointed out unto Israel. The desert is separation, is holiness. So you're, and holiness means to be separate. Separate from the masses. Now, Yahushua is the last one, Matthew 1:18. And he's going to go a step above. He was, Yohanan had Holy Ruach. Yahushua, seed came from Yahweh. So the sperm had to be created by Yahweh. The egg came from Miriam. Her name's not Mary, it's Miriam.
And where are you going?
Matthew chapter 1, 18. Now the birth of and Yahushua might be in brackets. Christ was thus, his mother Miriam, having been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child by Ruach HaKodesh. So that's the power. So when you look at Ruach, it's always associated with power. With Holy Ruach. Moreover, Joseph, her husband, being righteous and yet unwilling to expose her, intended privately to divorce her. But when these things he had pondered, lo, a messenger, here you come, a messenger's coming in, of Yahweh by dream appeared to him, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which in her has been begotten is of Holy Ruach. Moreover, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Yahushua. So there's the naming of the child, and he will what? That's the definition of his name, save his people. Yahushua is Yah is salvation. Yahweh is salvation. And that was an impossible birth. And we know that, let me see here. You know, Christ also said, repent. John in Matthew 3:1 said, repent. Turn to Israel. Yahushua in Matthew 4:17 said, repent, turn to Yahushua. And in Acts 3, so this is all preparing the way for Yahweh of repenting. Acts 3, we're going to see again, repent. It's cleaning the earth up so Yahweh can come back to the earth and be in Mount Zion. 3:19. Repent ye therefore and turn unto the bloody, this is the apostles telling to the high priest. And just remember, Satan is so diabolical. If you don't see Satan in Christianity, you have closed your eyes. Now, we're supposed to see spiritual wickedness. And so when somebody creates a god, we know that's not from Yahweh, and that's from his enemy, which is Satan. Coming through men, so we know the Trinity is from Satan. We know that, we did that the other teaching. We know the worshiping of Mary, or Miriam, is from Satan. We know purgatory is from Satan. So whenever you're making up things, these are doctrines of demons, because they're not in this book. But Acts 3:19. Repent ye therefore and turn unto the blotting out of your sins, to the end that in the case they may come season of refreshing from the face of Yahweh. If we return, you're going to see a refreshing from the face of Yahweh, and he may send forth him who had been a foreappointed for you, Mashiach Yahushua, unto whom indeed heavens must give welcome until the heavens, until the time of the due establishment of all things of which Yahweh hath spoken through the mouth of his holy age past prophets. And let's go to 26. And to you first, Yahweh, having raised up his servant, hath sent him forth ready to bless you when, what, you are, what?
Turning away
each one from your, what?
Wickedness.
This is preparing the way of Yahweh. And then we know that at last is Revelation 19. Verse 11. Well, we'll just skip down, because you know that's about Yahushua. Let's go to 17. And I saw one messenger standing in the sun. He cried out with a loud voice, saying unto all the birds that fly in mid heaven, hither be gathered together unto the great supper of Yahweh, that ye may eat the flesh of what kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them who sit upon them, and the flesh of all those both free and bond, and shall, and small and great, and the wild beasts. But this is all about Yahushua.
David,
verse 11, you know, he's the one who's bringing the judgment in the book of Revelation. And one last place, let me go here if I can find it. It's 14. Now 14, verse 7. And this is the whole purpose of the book of Revelation. And instead of just annihilating like he did in Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, they didn't have a chance. It was, boom, you're dead.
Noah too.
He's given these, you know, 7 years to turn. And it says, fear God and give him glory. This is what a messenger is up broadcasting this in the heavens. Fear Yahweh and give him glory, because the hour of his judging is come, and do homage unto him that made heaven and the earth and sea and fountains of water.
Is that Yahweh?
This is the messengers. And that's at 6, I saw another messenger flying in mid heaven, having an age-abiding message. Fear the Creator, fear Yahweh. So that's where we went, and right there
I was talking to somebody on the phone.
Yeah, let's fix it. But Father, we thank you for your word. Give us correction, and whenever we're wrong, let us know. And we want to be corrected. You know, a wise man loves reproof. Mm-hmm. Do not reprove a scoffer, because what? He will hate you. That's Proverbs 9:8. If you don't like reproof, you're a scoffer. And you used to say, okay, I love it. Well, reproof hurts me.
You dullard.
Yeah, what, do you want to keep going the wrong direction? You know, I'm trying to go north, and I'm off 1 degrees. If I'm off 1 degrees, and 16 miles, I'm off 1 mile. I'm not going to make my destination. Somebody says, hey, you're off 1 degree. Oh, who do you know? Why did it make you so smart? Why don't you just leave me alone?
Yeah.
Okay. And so you don't hit your destination. And so reproof should be, thanks, I want to hit my destination. So let's hear from our Heavenly Father, according to 1 Corinthians 14. Rejoice in all the little things, and rejoice in the big things, because I abide within you, and you are my children, in whom I have endowed with great spiritual ability. If you manifest, if you believe, and if you act upon the gift that I have given to you, that was poured out from my Son to you, in order to set you free, and to set your family members, and that your associates free from the power of darkness, by the light that abides within you. So read my word and study it and put it on your minds and ingest it to give it to others, and do not be deceived, but walk forth, shining forth the light of my truth. Amen.